This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. It's a bit of a cold one throughout most of the Red River Valley today. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Blake Rafferty says wind chill temperatures are as low as negative 50 in some areas.
The sun is misleading. It makes it look nicer outside than it really is. Temperatures right now here still below zero, teens below zero even. Wind chills are 40 below across much of the region. Coldest out in the Devil's Lake area, we've got some 50s. Still near the lunch hour below zero, and that's going to continue overnight. There might be a few hours this afternoon where we warm up a little bit and wind chills maybe are closer to 30 or 35 below, but once it gets dark, temperatures again are going to fall well below zero, back into the 20s below.
Rafferty expects it to remain cold throughout the week before warming up this weekend.
So we don't stay frozen permanently. By the time we get to Friday, we should be back in the double digits above zero, and then into the weekend, freezing on Saturday, and back to near 40 by Sunday. So much, much warmer by the weekend. Nice upswing in temperatures to end the work week and start next week. We'll need it after this just to try to average it out so it comes back closer to average temperature-wise.
Updated end on temperatures as of noon, negative 24 in Botno, negative 20 in Dickinson, Elbow Lakes at negative 16 degrees, Fargo minus 12, Roseau minus 14, Wadena minus 12. On the Minnesota side, Waska and Lamberton both around negative 10, and Poker Gym is at negative 19.
Extreme cold, important to take care of your livestock. SDSU Livestock Business Management Field Specialist Heather Gessner has some key points for producers to remember.
So if we can control some of the wind, if we can keep the bedding dry, that's also going to be important to keep that hair coat dry for those animals that are out there facing this. And then probably a lot of increases in feed. Guys are using more energy products or just making sure that those animals have enough feed in front of them so that they don't go hungry, so that the body heat and their temperature stays good, so that that animal can pretty much keep themselves warm from the inside.
And Gessner says this weather is extremely challenging for calving.
Keeping those baby calves dry and as quick as they can. When they're born, we have, issues with ears getting lost or maybe even some tails being froze when those calves are wet and born. So those producers that are calving this time of the year, they've made different arrangements to get cattle in a barn, have facilities available to dry them off so that we can try to alleviate some of those things.
Retail fertilizer prices mostly increased in early February, with two seeing significant jumps. According to DTN, urea rose 7% to an average of $525 per ton, while UAN-32 increasing 6% to $388 per ton. DTN's Russ Quinn said there are several factors in play.
It just seems like there's lots of little things that kind of come together that push prices higher. I know a couple years ago that one of the analysts I talked to would always say, well, it's a perfect storm of this, of this, and this. Well, that's kind of what it, it seems like whenever fertilizer prices climb, it's not because of one thing, and it's probably not because of two things, but it's probably three or four global supply hiccups across the globe that are doing this, and then I would guess that it's probably the same thing going on with N and P right now.
Meanwhile, MAP and potash prices dropping slightly, with potash averaging $436 per ton. Quinn said the potential tariffs could drive up the cost by a lot.
And, there's lots of variables. There was some debate on whether Canadian fertilizer would be exempt from these tariffs, and there's really no set answers yet of what exactly is going to happen. But if this was to come to pass and U.S. farmers would have to pay more for potash, there was some analysts that thought it would be about $100 more a ton.
USDA's National Animal Health Laboratory Network is the foundation of the government response to animal diseases like avian flu or foot and mouth disease. There are 58 facilities that are a part of this network. Politico's reporting the Trump administration is cutting the workforce at these labs by 25%. The American Association of Veterinary Laboratory Diagnosticians were told testing and the response to H5N1 will be slower because of the staff reductions.
We've almost reached the halfway point in the North Dakota legislative session, and so far the biggest topic has been property tax relief. North Dakota Farm Bureau Director of Public Policy Pete Hannabit said the good news is that relief is not just for urban homeowners.
It's looking more and more like the concerns of rural North Dakota are going to be at least addressed one way or the other. There's three bills alive in the House that have that opportunity to reform property taxes for rural landowners, and there's one in the Senate right now. And I think each of these bills have the blessing of leadership.
Hannabit says there's been legislation to help incentivize dairy processing in the state.
Hey, you know, we lost one of our dairy processors here in the Bismarck-Mandan area. And without finding some way to keep dairy processing in this state, we'll just continue to see a decline in dairy farmers to the point where in my hometown, Salem Sioux will be the last Holstein left. And we certainly don't need that in North Dakota.
The H5N1 avian flu virus continuing to spread, affecting both commercial poultry farms and backyard flocks across 9 U.S. states. Recent outbreaks have led to massive bird losses, particularly in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Indiana, where large-scale poultry farms have been hit hard. USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service confirming new cases in Colorado, Pennsylvania, and Indiana, where a layer farm in Jay County lost nearly 1 million birds. Meanwhile, Iowa reporting another outbreak in a turkey flock in Buena Vista County, marking its third outbreak of 2025. The virus has also impacted backyard flocks in Delaware, Michigan, Minnesota, Wyoming, and New York. Since the virus emerged in 2022, outbreaks have occurred in 159 million bird losses across all 50 states and Puerto Rico. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota Governor Kelly Armstrong has signed an executive order waiving the hours of service requirement for commercial truck drivers hauling propane and other petroleum products. Armstrong says North Dakota faces extremely low inventories of propane supplies and other heating fuel due to the severe weather. The 30-day waiver began today.
NDSU's Western Soybean School events will be held tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow in Minot, Wednesday in Dickinson. NDSU Extension Soil Health Specialist Channer Grunler says there will be a lot of great information for soybean growers.
We'll welcome everybody at 8:30 and 9 o'clock. The program will kick off in both locations, Mountain Time in Dickinson, Central Time in Minot, and we'll have an update about weeds control. We'll have a variety update. We'll have a disease, insects, soil fertility, the use of cover crops, and so just kind of a variety of topics, and a market outlook update also.
Gruner said continuing education credits for certified crop advisors are offered for the event. There is no cost to attend.
Nope, it's a free event. We do have registration online, so that helps out. It's just on Western Soybean School, NDSU. You can search on Google and find the location for it.
Acres and Shares is reporting 223 shares of American Crystal Sugar stock sold during the week ending February 14th at $5,500 per share. So far this trading season, 4,850 shares have sold at an average price of $5,412 per share, with a high of $5,650 and a low of $5,100. Crystal's new partnership transfer deadline is March 3rd. The transfer deadline is March 13th, and the ACSC board is meeting March 26th.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins traveled to the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, Kentucky over the weekend. This was her first official trip as Agriculture Secretary. In addition to the trade show, Rollins attended the championship tractor pull and met with a group of 100 farmers for a listening session.
The agriculture minister in Russia's Rostov region has been arrested for what appears to be fraud. The Russian state news agency said the damage totaled a U.S. equivalent of $1.7 million. This region is one of Russia's top grain production areas, accounting for 11% of the country's grain output in 2023.
NDSU Extension livestock economist Tim Petrie says a herd rebuild is less likely as long as beef production can remain as high as it's been.
We've been going down six straight years now on beef cow numbers. The last couple of years, we've been below the low point of the previous cycle back in 2014 when cow cattle prices were a record high at that time. So no surprise that we have higher prices now than we did back in 2014 because we've got fewer cattle. Keep in mind, too, that, you know, last time I did talk to you, it isn't the numbers that are important as the amount of beef that we produce. And last year, in 2024, we produced the identical amount of beef that we did in 2023, even with fewer cows.
Petrie says we don't have the replacement heifers for a quick herd rebuild.
When we do start restocking or rebuilding, how fast is that going to occur? Because everybody remembers back to 2014 and 15, and we increased quite a bit there. Then prices plummeted into 2016 quite dramatically. So that's the big question. Is that going to happen again? And the answer to that, even though, and we're going to look at, there is a little bit of interest in herd rebuilding, and a little bit did take place. It took place in North Dakota and some other states. But we aren't going to be able to restock very quickly because we don't simply have the replacement heifers to rebuild very quickly, even though if weather conditions allow that.
USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, has released their farmland stats for 2024. The number of South Dakota farms and ranches is unchanged from last year at 28,300 farms. This marks the second year in a row that number has remained unchanged. Farms and ranches with less than $100,000 in agricultural sales increased 200 farms from a year ago, as farms with over $100,000 in ag sales decreased by 200. Farm and ranch acres remain unchanged from last year and again from 2023's 42.3 million acres. The average size of operation, 1,495 acres, remains unchanged from last year as well.
And for the second year in a row, North Dakota's farms and ranches is unchanged, 24,800 farms. Farms and ranches with less than $100,000 in ag sales increased by 100. Farms with over $100,000 decreased by 100 farms. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. This is National FFA Week. Sadie Fry is a communications specialist for AgTegra Farm Cooperative and is based in Aberdeen. Her home FFA chapter was the Northwestern Area FFA in Mallette, South Dakota. Fry's High School didn't have an FFA chapter until her junior year.
My journey in FFA started a lot later than most FFA kids, whether they're seventh grade or freshman, so I was a little later into the game, but my dad had been involved in FFA when he was in high school, and when he moved to the area that I grew up in, he worked for many years on trying to get an FFA chapter established so that his own kids could be a part of it. And so that opportunity finally came about in 2016. And then I grew up on a farm, so I knew that I wanted to develop my leadership skills even more through FFA. And
Price served as a state officer in 2019-2020, is now a member of the South Dakota FFA Adult Board of Directors, and coaches a chapter meet judging team. FFA made a long-term impact on her life.
The leadership development portion is something that I think every FFA member can say definitely helped them excel, whether that's public speaking or just being able to know how to run a meeting. I think those are skills that now in the workplace, I see myself being able to know more top of hand because I have those experiences in FFA. And so definitely prepared me not only for my career, but just for life in general.
This National FFA Week message sponsored by Proceed, Nutrien, and the Red River Farm Network.
Checking quotes, March wheat Minneapolis is at 6.33 1/2, up 16 3/4 cents. March wheat Chicago even at $6. KC wheat's up 23 cents, 6.21 1/4. There are no markets today, and I'm glad I remembered right now. So, that being said, we'll still continue through them here, though, for you. March soybeans at 10.36. In Winnipeg, March canola sitting at 6.63 1/2. April live cattle's at 194.25. March feeders at 2.66.35. April feeders, 2.66.42. May feeders, 2.65 even. April lean hogs, 92.60. May lean hogs, 96.42. June lean hogs, 104.67. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 44,502. Again, no markets today due to the holiday. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.